Hey, my friends. This is Summerlin Haynes, your host for Behind the Reel, along with my co-host, Aaron Devon King, where we invite you to go behind the curtain, strip down to the brass tacks, and learn real stories of real people and what it took for them to be successful at their craft. Let's go behind the reel.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very special guest. We have actor Jimmy Walker Jr. So, everything is going pretty good in your world, Jimmy?
Yes, it is. Nice. I woke up on the right side of the ground this morning. Yeah.
I hear you on that. So, I want to start from the very, very beginning. How was it like growing up in Ohio?
Well, Cleveland, Ohio is very, very nice place to live, very nice place to bring up children. The economy is nice. The arts world is very nice, too. We have a Caramu House, which is the oldest black theater in the nation, and it's still going strong. We have the Cleveland Playhouse, who puts out a lot of work, and there's a lot of actors came from Cleveland, Ohio, and from the Playhouse or either Caramu.
Nice. And speaking of Caramu, you were an actor training at the Caramu House in Cleveland. How was that experience?
Oh, very nice. Very nice. They start you off. You take classes there, and as the productions come up, we had Ruben and Dorothy Silvers. They would put you in a play, you know, usually as an atmosphere or background. They would teach you, you know, you wouldn't go on getting lines. You might be carrying a bucket across the stage, but they give you experience of the experience of being on stage, how it works, and they gradually brought you along with their classes. Caramu was also a place where they taught you to be a complete performer. So if you were in acting, you would have to take classes in modern dance. You have to take some singing. So they'll make you a complete a performer. Mm. So then they'll bring you along. Like I said, you might carry a bucket across the stage. Then they might give you a line. But they also... They also bring you along in class also, so you must participate. It was nice, very nice to come along in that era and experience that type of training.
And how long were you there?
I started there in the 70s, around 69. I participated there until, you know, life changes. I became a Cleveland policeman. Therefore, when you do that, you have to change shifts every month. So I had to put acting on the back burner for about 6 or 7 years. Then life turns again. Then I was no longer a policeman. I went back. And from there, I stayed until I left to come here.
Nice. And how was it, you know, being a policeman in Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, it's a tough business. I did it because of I wanted something new every day, adventurous. We handled everything from birth to death.
Oh, wow.
And that's no joke. Everything I'm talking about. From squirrels breaking into people's houses to, you know, burning houses, bringing children out who were deceased. It was an experience. So being a policeman is not for everyone.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yes. Well, you know, the state of the law enforcement now as compared to then. You know, we got people who think because they wear a badge, they can get away and do things that you want. You treat people as you sworn to treat people with respect. But now, you know, policemen, you know, the atmosphere out there is hard to trust. Back when I was a kid, they always taught you to trust your policeman and whatever. Now it's hard to do, you know. But I treated people the way I wanted to be treated and showed them the respect by when I had to stop them, calling them sir and whatever. And they give you the respect back, you know.
That's what it's all about, just showing love and respect wherever you go. And what motivated you to be an artist? And when was that first moment you realized you wanted to be an actor?
Actually, it was strange the way that started, because I used to have, well, sometimes I do a speech impediment where you stutter. And I was always scared when I was at Caramel. I walked past the windows and I see guys in there who were always getting casted. And I said, I can't do that, you know. I don't want to do that. I'll get ready to go in. And I said, nah, I ain't going to do it. So I had a little bit of stage fright then. But I got involved in a children's play. I said, if I can entertain these children, I think I could go out there and do it for anybody, you know? So I got casted in this children's play. And you know, I go out and you get this reaction and you start loving what you're doing. Therefore, that got rid of the stage fright. And then I went to audition for mainstream plays at Caramel. And it started then, because I noticed that the bigger the audience was, the more excited I get. You know, it wasn't that I was scared anymore. It's like, wow. You know, a lot of people were getting butterflies, you know, backstage. And I was like, let's go with it. Bring it on. You know, that's when I found out, you know, it might be a little something to that. I was always casted in comedy plays. And one day they casted me in a dramatic play. Had to do with prison. And I was the older prisoner there, and they called me old school. And you know how actors have to somewhat bring tears, or either visit a place in their life where might bring tears. Well, I was trying at that. It was hard, but the trick to that was that you don't really have to cry. But if you have the audience crying, I think you've done your job. And I did that, and I said, wow, I can do that? I didn't think I could do that. And then I really got involved in, you know, I really got involved in the world of acting. So I wanted to go deeper. So I started going to class there, even private classes.
Nice. It's nothing like the art of convincing. And once you know you have them, you can, you know, just use it to your advantage. And they're on that roller coaster ride with you, the audience. And they're just looking at every single thing you do. You have them at every single turn that you make.
Yeah, that's true. But that's why I love theater, because you get the instant gratification of the audience. And where TV, you have to wait a couple of weeks if it's on major network. And with movies, you might have to wait a year. And if it's COVID, you might have to wait two years. <You know? laughs> So, but with stage, you get that instant gratification, which I love.
And what's the difference, the big difference between theater and film?
Well, the difference is... They're most when I heard when I first came in from casting directors is they love theater actors because theater actors deliver, they can keep delivering with the same intensity over and over. Whereas some film trained actors, they be mic'd up so they don't have to speak. They get in the habit of speaking low, whereas theater actors automatically use the diaphragm and they got the sound because they're supposed to be able to communicate with the audience member in the last row. So you train that way. And so from a few casting directors, they said they prefer theater actors. And the difference is you act more with your eyes, you use other instrument rather than, it's visual, rather than your whole body. It might be a tight shot where you just one little blink of the eye or one eye look constitute the feeling that you're supposed to bring to that scene. Mm-hmm. So they might say, well, theater is big, but with the film, you bring it down a lot.
So and do you prefer working in theater more than film, or do you prefer them both?
Well, it's a horse race. It's neck and neck. I love it all. I do. I really love it all. As far as, like I said, as far as the audience or your gratification, the instant gratification is the stage. But, if you have to wait a year for a movie and then you see how people react to the joke or whatever, and that take a year, but it still is just as gratifying. It just take a year. You don't know if they're getting it or not, But if you're on stage, they're getting it. They're getting the writing. They're getting everything because they talk to you, or you could hear their response, which is important to us as actors.
Oh yeah, you want to make sure that you're doing your job justice and to hear their response and saying, "Oh yeah, he's good. What's going on with this scene? Oh, I love this," and that's always amazing to hear.
Yeah.
And with everything that you have done over the years, what do you want your legacy to be as an artist?
As a what? As an audience?
As an artist.
Audience that we bring him in, he can do everything. He does what we ask, whether it's comedy, whether it's drama. He comes. He's punctual. Because that stuff gets around, and then the other people start calling in. So I want to be known as a person that can deliver comedy and drama.
You worked with Michael Jai White in the films Black Dynamite. And how was that experience?
Oh, man. That's like you're going to work and you just laugh all day. Because you're working with a bunch of comedians who are on all the time. And Michael's a very nice, gracious person. I mean, we had so much fun. Every time we do that or get together, we have a lot of fun. That was such an experience for me that I never will forget that. And it's sort of like, there again, coming, they're giving them what they want. They keep you if they start, and then they'll start writing for you and put you in other things. He is, after that, he wanted me to do the cartoon, the voice for the cartoon. And they draw this character to look like me. And we did the cartoon on Adult Swim. Then they did a comic book and they drew a character that looked like me. So Roscoe really, snowball into something, and then 7 years later he wanted to do another Black Dynamite, but he turned it into a Western, and we're waiting for that to come, to be distributed, and that's called Outlaw Johnny Black. That was something also. I mean, you know, you got these guys it's just like going to work. That's why I love acting. You go to work. This is the only job I've ever been to where you punch in and they tell you to go eat.
Mm-hmm.
Go get whatever you want. Yeah. The honey wagon makes whatever you want. You can go back to your trailer or you can sit out, you know, and just eat. And then, you know, just stand by when hair and makeup come. That's all you do. And then you go shoot your scenes and whatever. This is an everyday thing. They're telling jokes in the hair and makeup room. And I mean, it's just, you meet people that used to watch on TV and you're talking with them in the morning. You like what they're doing. They like what you're doing. It was another experience, man. I'm telling you, I enjoy every time I do it.
Mm. Nice. Mm. And were there ever any talks of your character in Black Dynamite having his own movie?
No. Yeah, you could tell. Hey, why don't you call him and tell him? I'd love to do that.
I'm just putting it in the universe, you know.
Okay.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, I would too. But there again, as an artist, you know, I was trying to master acting. I do want, you know, and then to direct what I could. I would like to start writing things.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the kind of things that, you know, I do have some ideas that I wanted to do, but that's called reinventing yourself
mm-hmm.
to the industry, you know, and that's something that I haven't tackled that. I would like to.
Oh.
Maybe I'll start.
Is that on your bucket list to possibly tackle sometime this year, if not sooner?
No. Well, I began the program and started writing and keeping my notes. But I do have something interesting that every time I tell this story, you know, people will be thinking, well, what's next? What's next? You know, but, and I wouldn't be playing myself either. Mm-hmm. But it was my life experiences coming, like what we're discussing now mm-hmm. about being in the arts back then and then becoming a policeman. After being a totally different person, people that you were saying, you're a policeman, not you. You know, some of your old friends came up with that. You could possibly be a policeman. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Things like that through life and you know, and winding up out here, I had some pretty interesting turns and events that could be put down. You know,
absolutely, and that could definitely be a play, a movie, a book. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. So, yeah, but like I said, I try to keep myself busy. If I'm not doing, I'd be in class. I got back into drumming.
Oh, nice!
Because I used to have a kit at home when I was in Cleveland, but now you're out here with. In apartments, you can't do that. But I do go to the Guitar Center, who rents out the drum room. But I am taking like music lessons in drum, going back to the rudiments because I used to play by ear. Now I want to just know what I'm doing. So well, I got a pad and all that stuff. So I do that for an hour or so a day. You know, nice. Keep myself busy. It is all entertainment-wise because I also been in shows where I tap dance a little. I was studying tap dance, still study tap dance. When mm-hmm. I say study, I don't mean I'm still learning. You mm-hmm. know, if a choreographer put down a few combinations, I could do. But as far as improvisation, no, it's something so I still study and work at it. So I do that, but it's all in the entertainment realm
mm-hmm.
what's going to help me as a performer because it's the thing about separating yourself from the other. I'm sure there's a lot of other 72, 73-year-old guys here. But can they play drums? Can they
tap sing? Dance.
Can they tap that? You know, you got to diss because there's some guys out here that's been series regulars and all of that stuff. So when you have to go up against them or read against them, you have to have some other attribute that might turn the caster director your way. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so Caribou made it tough. Caribou taught you to make it tough for a casting director to kick you out of the office. You right? You know, always know a little combination of steps, always know 16 bars to sing, and know a couple of monologues, dramatic and comedy. That's got me through here.
Mm.
So that's what I knew.
And as an artist, what's your inspiration to continue to perform, and what keeps you grounded?
Keeps me grounded, like when I was telling you, as I tell everybody, if you're not Denzel, you better find something else to do. If you're not a series regular, because you live in L.A., so you have to find something else to do.
So when
I was working construction,
mm-hmm.
and the next day I know I'm, or the next week I know I'm going to be on the film set, and then I'd enjoy being in the trailer, everybody escorting you to this place, bringing you this and all that. I love that. I look out the window. I said, you know what? Tomorrow or next week, you're going to be packing a ditch. That keeps you grounded because you know, well, this is only temporary. I wish I could do this every day like some of these people do. But tomorrow, you know where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be hitting that clock at 4 or 5 in the morning. And you might be in a ditch. You might be on a ladder putting up conduit. You're going to be doing construction work. So that keeps me grounded. I don't mind telling people I got a job.
Mm-hmm. Making that ends meet.
That's right. Because you could always, you can dream, but you still don't have to be broke.
Who wants that? We all need money.
That's right. You know, you go into to an audition or you can't get a photo of yourself. You got to go copy a photo. You're supposed to have that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs money to do that. So if it costs money to do, you have to go to work. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you something else. When I first came out here, they told me, oh, you want to become SAG? You could go, Taft Hartley. Just get cast in a commercial. Do you know how long it took me to get a commercial? Actually, if I would have listened to that, I didn't get a commercial until 7 years after I was here.
Mm.
I went and did the background thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and went on and got that over with. Because I never would have been. It would have been that long before I would have got into SAG if I would have listened to that advice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You gotta keep on going. And you'd be surprised how many people always mention Denzel on this show.
Yeah, well, but because he's it, man. You know? He's it. And, you know, that they should say Sam Jackson, too, because, well, Sam Jackson don't have awards, you know, but he said if people think that because his movies make a lot of money that he got a lot, well, I would like to have any percentage that he got,
mm-hmm.
because he does what he wants to do every day. He says that. He says money stops all my problems. He said, I got enough money to go play golf. And do what I want to do every day.
And so you can't beat that.
No.
And we all want that, you know, to get to that level at least.
Yeah. That's what we all out here for. We all are out here. We're striving for the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more of Jimmy Walker Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Jimmy Walker Jr. and my co-host, Summerlin Haynes. So, Jimmy, my next question. Currently, you worked in the movie King Richard with Will Smith.
Yes.
How was that experience, talking to Will Smith and being with Will Smith?
Well, it was very satisfying. This guy is one of the nicest guys I've met besides Denzel. Will Smith is a pleasure to work with. Everything was professional. Everything was done. Everyone was treated well, from background to principals to crew, everybody. It was just, it's an honor to work with him. It was a pleasure working with him, to go there every day. For some strange reason, I shouldn't say strange reason, but he kept me. I was on set for a week, and it was actually my job only took one day. My shoot was one day, but I wound up there being a week, which is a blessing. And this is the type of guy he is, because he was trying to stick me in other scenes or something that he could get me in.
Wow.
Which I thought was ooh, wow.
So he was trying to make sure that you got the screen time that you deserved, huh?
Well, he liked what I did on what I was casted for. So they were trying to find other things that I could do, as long as we were in that park. Okay. So he was just looking for something extra there, which I thought was very nice.
Did he manage to do that?
Were
you able to get more screen time?
No, we didn't. But I was there standby every day, right there on set, with a change of wardrobe every day. They made sure that they wanted me to have a different wardrobe every day, because they don't know what they was going to stick me in. Mm-hmm. But this was a guy that they said that he talked to every time he came to the park to clean up the glass, to train his daughters. They wanted this guy, well-dressed guy, African-American guy who always was at the park, and, you know, they wanted that sort of character.
Okay.
And I fit the bill, it looks like.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, I'm sorry, let me officially introduce myself to you, Jimmy. So I'm Aaron's co-host of Behind the Reel. Thank you for coming on the show. I apologize. I did have some technical difficulties getting in, but I'm here and I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Em. Nice
you.
Meeting you too.
Nice to meet you. So you guys have been talking about your journey up until now. Can you talk about some of the future projects that you're working on?
Yeah, we just finished shooting. I just finished shooting my part of Weird Al Yankovic with Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, wow. The guy from Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So you got it. Because he's like from the UK, right?
What'd you say, ma'am?
He's from the UK, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I realized that I think I mentioned that to Aaron, that I actually, we did a scene. My scene was totally just with him. And then he said, we took this picture. So I'm thinking, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this dude I'm standing here with Harry Potter. I wish some of this would rub off on me. All this money that movie's made.
Yeah.
And then the next day,
he didn't whip out his wand, did he? Pardon? He worked magic spell.
the next day I go to my Instagram account and he's following me. I said, nobody never done that, and nobody I ever worked with, you know. So I looked, nice. And Daniel said, you know, he's following. So now he follows me, I follow him. But nice. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. That's that one project. Cool. The Grand Crew, one of the first episodes I was in that, they're showing that.
Oh, and that's on
Bust Down. What
network is that? Is that on?
Which one?
You said Grand Crew. That's on. Is that on
NBC?
NBC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think one of my colleagues is on that show, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. I was on there, and that was a straight out offer. These people called my manager and said they wanted me on there. So when I get on there, the creator of the show came up to me and says, "I've been trying to get you for like 3 months." But he said, but it was the COVID. I was going to get you, you know, for something 3 months ago. I said, oh, that's nice. But I didn't audition for that. They just gave it to me. And we got Bust Down. It just came out the other day. It's screening on Peacock. And that's with Chris Redd. And that's being shown now. So those are the things. And we're waiting for the Outlaw Johnny Black. That's with Michael Jai White. And that's coming out.
Oh, okay. He's got a new one coming out. Is it? So he's always known for his martial arts. Is it a martial arts film?
No, this is a black cowboy. Like Blazing Saddles. It's a comedy like Blazing Saddles.
All right, what role do you play?
I play the old town guy.
Okay, that's all you can say, right?
Yeah, that's all really.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes. Right. So he brought back everybody that was in Black Dynamite, most who could come back. So he's like keeping. He tried to keep that together. And I hear he got a studio now. Michael.
Oh, Michael Jai White has a studio?
Mm-hmm. You're kidding.
In Connecticut. Gigantic. It's called Gigantic.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Oh. That's good to know.
I know, right? You say, where is it at now?
It's in Connecticut.
I wonder why he did it in Connecticut.
To put Connecticut on the map? I think that's pretty smart.
Yeah, you can get the particulars if you Google it up. But he's got that going on.
Because
you know, Michael, like you said, overseas, he's a big star. Martial arts stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's pretty big over here, too. I think, you know, there's a couple of films that put him on the map. One of them being The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he did a lot of work before then.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like working with him?
That guy's he always says that he's a nerd. He's not, but he's a funny guy. This guy is always thinking comedy. I mean, he's funny.
Really?
He might be in all of these action movies, but this guy's really he really got a good eye. He really got an eye for comedy. And we just had fun doing it. He teases me, I tease him. I remember one scene we practiced in Black Dynamite. He had on those those high heel shoes that we wore in the 70s. And he comes sliding like out of there in my restaurant and slid and hit his butt, boom, right down. I said, Black Dynamite. He started laughing. He ain't supposed to laugh at me. He was laughing. But he felt, yeah, we had so much fun. I mean, Tommy Davidson, all those guys are funny. Kim Whitley. Kim Whitley she's from Cleveland too.
That's right. She sure is. Kim, wait, she was on, wasn't she on, there was a show a long time ago.
Living Single.
Living Single, yes.
No, that's Kim Coles. Kim Whitley is the one that, she had her own show on OWN. She has, what else was she in? If you saw the first Black Dynamite, you saw she was one of the,
she was in Friday, wasn't she, at one time?
Yeah, the Friday. That's Kim Whitley.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all we do, we sit on set, talk about the restaurants in Cleveland. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? What's your favorite restaurant in Cleveland? Because you know I'm from Ohio, Rhea.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I am.
I tell you what, I like Hot Sauce Williams Barbecue when I go back.
Oh, yeah.
I go to Whitmore's too.
Okay. Those are two very, very delicious.
And then there's Angie's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So far, you're coming up with some good names.
Oh yeah. That was me when I go there. That's a funny story too.
With
Angie's, I almost got shot trying to get a pig feet.
Wait a minute. What happened?
I don't know. I just got off the plane and I was going to the one on Lee and Harvard.
Yeah.
And I was just getting ready walking, and as soon as I saw these bullet holes on its wing stop next door, and all these bullet holes in the cars outside.
What?
And they said, well, we had to close up for a minute because there was a shootout just 5 minutes ago.
What? See, y'all, everybody keeps saying Ohio's not exciting.
Yeah, I was saying.
This is just going to get some pizza. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, no.
Jimmy, can you hear us?
I think we lost them.
I think so too, for a signal. Let's give it like 10 seconds.
Yeah, let's see if we come back in.
Yeah. Are you back, Jimmy? Jimmy?
You here with us, Jimmy?
Hello?
No, we lost him again.
Lost him. He was there.
Give him a second to come back in. What?
Nothing. I was gonna say something, but just lost connection again. Yeah. Jimmy? Hello? Jimmy?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, he's back. See, Jimmy, we was talking about Angie's and all of a sudden it just took you out. Just like the bullets almost took you out.
Yeah, I said, well, that's bad luck, huh?
Maybe we shouldn't talk about that anymore.
Oh, but one more. Shrimp boat.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Those are some good, like, soul food restaurants.
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's Ohio. You're from Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. All my life.
Jimmy, please tell these people, tell our listeners that Ohio is not boring, okay? There's a lot going on.
No, it's not. Like I was saying, that even Cleveland, Ohio has the oldest Black theater in the nation. This is terrible. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And they're
a lot of good things come out of Cleveland. the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That Rock and Roll was was supposedly that was the start, the heart of rock and roll. That was where it started. So
See, and that's me. I talk up my hometown because people just don't. They made those national jokes about it because they never. Those people who do that never been there. They don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. People always give Ohio a bad name because of the weather. Now the weather is bad, but boy, oh boy, it's.
Yeah, you can get.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you could get. It's very good, very big in the arts. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a lot of. They have a small community. There are people, film community there that, the Russo brothers that did in Avengers Endgame and some other stuff, they came out of Ohio.
Yeah, they came out of the same school I went to. They were younger.
Yeah,
I graduated from Benedictine and they did too.
This is like an Ohio reunion. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Aaron.
No, it's okay.
You're not a part of the Ohio crew.
Yeah.
I have to visit.
Come on. We accept all.
Yeah, those guys have done made their imprint out here in LA. The Russo brothers.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you love to work with them?
Pardon?
I said, wouldn't you love to work with them?
Oh, yeah, I would like to work with them. They're still doing things. Yeah, I would like to.
Yeah, I think their next project, what's the next big project? I want to say, is it The Gray Man? I think The Gray Man.
Yeah.
If you have not seen or read the books for The Gray Man, oh, my goodness. Those books are just, yes, you cannot put them down. Let me just say that. So if anybody's looking for a good read, if you like, spy thrillers,
mm-hmm.
It's perfect for, check it out. Listen, you may want to be in one of the Gray Man movies. We may see Jimmy Walker in a Gray Man movie, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Okay. So let's go back to your journey. Let's, I'm sorry, I kind of get sidetracked a little bit sometimes, but hope you forgive me for that.
No worries. Jimmy,
what advice would you give someone who wants to be an actor? You've been in the business quite a while. You have worked with some really big names. What advice can you give to someone who is on the path of becoming a working actor?
Well, I would say that I would get into a class. I would get into a community where you could act, where it'd be theater community. Join a good theater group if you can. And always. Be courteous to people, treat people nice, because you never know at the end where they're going to be. Just stay at it and never give up. The small parts or whatever, yes, people, small parts snowball into big stuff. So you never... they're small actors. just keep those things, try to do those things, I think, and never give up. And it happened to you like it happened to me, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it'll start showing you some returns. Sometimes some people could do it overnight. Some people it might take 5 years. Some people it might take 20. But I was once told by a casting director who, for those who think they could come out here and do it overnight, you got another thing coming. Because I was told by a casting director, they don't start looking at you if they don't start looking at your photo, and this was when they was doing photos, you know, coming across their desk, they would look at your photo. If you were there like 2 years, they would turn it over and look at your resume. If they kept seeing, if your agent kept submitting you, they wouldn't even turn it over to see what you do until after the second or third year. So it takes time. And once they see your picture come across that desk enough times, they'll start looking at you. So that's why you can't give up.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's true. It's very true. Casting directors, they may see your headshot, and they may have a role that they want to try to get you cast in, but they just can't do it at that time because maybe for one reason or another. It doesn't necessarily always have to do with your experience, or it could be the way that you look. You just may not fit that role for one reason or another, or maybe you do fit that role, but you know, there are other factors coming into play where they're just not able to cast you for that role, but they always keep you in the back of their head, like, okay, I want to cast this person at some point.
Yes, so, true. And they also, that's a flip to that. You know, on the other hand, you treat people courteously, because you're going to come in contact with wardrobe, you're going to come in contact with makeup people, the whole crew. You must be nice and courteous and easy to work with, because that'll get back to you. You get casted somewhere and then you get somebody giving the PA a hard time and all that. At the end of the day, they have crew meetings and they talk about that. Hey, who gave you a hard time today? And your name come up, you won't be invited back there.
Oh boy.
So it's very important that you treat people nicely. You know, I've been on sets where some people come through and they just got casted, maybe their first time, and they running these PAs around just because they could do it. But you know, I don't do that. I go onto a set, I say, hey, where's the water at? You know, I'll go get it myself. You don't go get it for you. I'll get it. You know, I'm sure you have something else to do. You ain't got to go get me no water. I know what that is. You know, that kind of thing. But some people do that because they know they can do it. And your name get around, and they don't ask you back. Or they pass it along to another set. Hey, this guy or this lady is difficult. And then you don't, you know, you wonder why you don't get asked back. You
get blacklisted. You know?
So you must be nice and easy to work with and just get along and have fun.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. There is a certain etiquette when you're on set. I can see that. Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, when you become that A-lister, what type of work would you want to do? What type of genre do you like the best that you would want to work in?
Well, I do love comedy. I do love that. However, there is you want to be a rounded actor. I do love drama. And every time I have a chance to do that, I jump at it. I'd like to give back. Also, you know, you like to maybe start a theater.
Okay.
Or something. Okay. You know, people who are passionate about it, they want somewhere to go and do it. I would like to do something like that.
That would, you know what? There's a lot of actors out there who are just phenomenal, and they just don't get the recognition that they deserve. Mm-hmm. You know? And that would be a great place. And I know there are a lot of, you know, casting directors who are looking for those type of people, but they just can't find them. So that would be great if you opened up a theater or, you know, a place where people can put on their shows and their productions.
Yeah, I think that's important for all of us in this business to do that.
Uh-oh, somebody's windows came on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I heard it in the background.
Yeah, that kills me.
No, folks, we did not put that sound in here.
Hey, y'all can get that out.
Sound
right?
effect.
Y'all can get that out, right?
Why? It makes it nice and juicy.
We can edit. We can edit that out.
Yeah.
and going into theater,
cut
Jimmy,
it right out.
How'd you first meet Sharon Judy?
Who? What did you say?
How'd you first meet Sharon Judy?
Sharon Judy. Oh, that's a wonderful woman. One day I was like now I got a phone call. And she said she was Sharon Judy. And she said she would like for me to, she wanted me to do a show. She had saw me in a show. And she was interested in me doing a show. Now, and she was new at it, she said. And I jumped at the chance because she was honest. You could tell the sincerity in her voice. Mm-hmm. That I love to deal with people like that. And she was like, okay. You know, I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. You know. And I went there and I got casted in her show. And she done a few of them. And I was involved in all of them. And I made some friendships there. We lost Carl, her husband, who was, he was, you know.
It was great.
Phenomenal, yeah. So, and Sharon was somebody that, I'm telling you, she was very, her heart is always in the right spot. And I just said, well, yeah, I'm gonna do this because I like her. She's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Talented writer too. Oh man.
Oh yeah. So yeah. What was it like working with Sharon? How did
working with Sharon?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Because she had me an opportunity. She gave me an opportunity to play two characters in one. At one time, which was a challenge that I haven't had before. I've had that before in the same play, but not these close. I did Orpheus, famous Orpheus, one time, and I was an uncle, the young lady's uncle, mm-hmm. when she was on Earth. And then I became one of those demons when she went to hell.
Were a demon in hell?
Yeah. So Sharon Judy comes along and she said, you're going to be, I want you to be the deacon. And then you're going to be the doctor, the psychiatrist in the second part of this. I said, wow. And she gave me an opportunity to do that, and I really appreciated that.
That's a nice range of characters.
Yeah. Hmm. So she trusted me, and I trust her all the way, so I love her.
Wonderful. Nice. She's a wonderful lady. We have had her on the show, and she's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she is.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer working in theater or films?
For the audience, the instant gratification that you know that you're connecting with the audience is stage plays. I miss them. It's been like almost 3 years getting away from it. But I like that kind of interaction with the audience rather than with the TV. You might have to wait 2 weeks if it's on network. You have to wait to 2 weeks to see whether the material that you're in, whether the audience is liking it or not, or whether you see it and with movies, it could be a year. In this case, with COVID, it's 2 years. You know, the King Richard was moved back a year. So that's like 2 years. So
it was such a great movie too, boy.
Yeah, I loved it. But the stage is the instant gratification. So if you're a performer, you want to hear that feedback really right away.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done immersive theater?
Have I ever been?
Immersive theater?
Immersive?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's just asking. It seems to be like a big thing these days. In the last couple of years, people are really getting into this immersive theater because, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but when you're sitting there watching a movie, don't you kind of feel like you're a part of it? You may feel like you're a spectator on the sidelines, but you feel like you're immersed in it, right? When it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
So what if you actually got to be immersed in it? You actually get to play a character alongside the actors and the main characters.
Like murder mystery dinners.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be cool. But I don't know if the writers would like that too much. Do you? Do you think so?
Hey, I'm just saying, listen, I think it's becoming like even bigger. I mean, every year you hear about all these different immersive theater experiences. And it really is kind of fun because you kind of get to practice your improv skills when you mm-hmm. when you participate in the immersive theater experience. So,
well, look, you got me on a podcast, on a link, on a telephone. You know, I never. Whoever thought that was possible? You know, I roll with the punches. Whatever you put out there, I'm gonna try to do it. But I never thought he could do that. I said, yeah. And then when I lost you, I said, oh my God, I'm gonna get that back.
Well, we're glad you came back.
So I start fooling with my phone, trying to get another link back. That's to what, it.
Is that when we heard the Windows? The Windows.
Oh no!
Signature.
That was
sound?
On the computer. I'm on my phone. Okay. I didn't know you could do it on the computer.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Listen.
Oh, I could have.
We did not bring that. I hope Windows don't try to come after us. Playing that.
No, I had the computer on. I had my computer on, and you know, it's one of those things with them Windows. You know about that.
Yeah, it just plays whenever it wants. Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing.
Yeah, true. That's
listen, ding. You. I know you be there falling asleep. Ding. All of a sudden, you hear that noise.
Oh yeah.
About to take a shower. Ding. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you should definitely check out an immersive theater, or you know, like, who knows, when you get your theater going, maybe you can do an immersive theater project.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm gonna look into that.
All right. Now, see, remember when you get cast in one of those things, remember Summer told you about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna remember that. I'm saying
you're gonna get big, and everybody's gonna be like, "We are already big, but even bigger." And then we're gonna be like, "Hey, Jimmy, you're gonna be like, I'm sorry, who are you?"
Yeah. Hey, what part of Cleveland are you from, Summer?
So I grew up in Euclid.
Euclid, yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, is it? Suburb of Cleveland, but yeah.
I know. Oh yeah.
See we cool from Cleveland.
Yeah.
We the coolest ones. Yeah. So Jimmy, because we are from Cleveland, Ohio, we're very grounded people, yes.
Yes.
We keep it real, don't we?
We do.
So tell me what keeps you grounded out here in LA.
Well, being that I had a day job. Or I do have a day job when I want to, is that keeps me grounded because I know that tomorrow I may be doing in a ditch, or I may be coming out of those coming out of them trailers, you know, to a ditch the next day. So reality is I don't have a parking spot at a studio, so I must conduct myself as such that this is a contract day job, or it might be a week, and then you're gonna go back to your reality is construction work.
Okay. Yeah, it's the truth. This is the real deal. You do have to have a job to keep you afloat until you get one of those, you land one of those big roles on a TV show or in a film.
That's right. And those, and they only give out parking spots to series regulars.
Yeah.
So that means you got some work to do, brother.
So wait, where do you park when you go to set?
They make you park in the parking structure.
How dare you?
If you go to Warner Brothers and all that, you got to walk to.
You got to walk across the street, and then you got to go through the gate.
You got to go through the gate security.
And then you got to walk across the campus to where the studio is. I know all about that.
Oh, yeah. That's where you park.
Yep.
But as soon as you get there, you know, like on set, then you see the regulars. They got their name on their parking spots right by the set.
Right by it. Like, hey, come on now. Maybe you can get in good with one of them and be like, hey, listen, my leg is a little, you know, it's hurting a little bit. You think maybe I could use that spot today?
Well, you know, people my age, check this out. People my age, you know, I be seeing them, they send people in the scooters for them. And I've been walking all this time.
Well, you know, it's a blessing though. It's a blessing though that you can you got two good legs and you can use them to go wherever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Currently I go back and forth to Al.
Weird what Al? Is that?
Weird no, Al? I did that. Oh. No, this is the United States of Al.
Oh, the TV show. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm Walt, and they periodically come and get me, and I'll be on there. But we park in the, I park in the structure there in Warner Brothers. But that is a very nice show to work on. And I didn't mention that. That they have, I had a chance to work to two of the comedy giants, Chuck Lorre for United States of Al.
Yeah, yeah.
And I worked for Lorne Michaels, who's doing this bus down. Lorne Michaels got Saturday Night Live.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
So now next on my bucket list is Judd Apatow or Tyler Perry.
Okay. Oh, that's around the corner.
But they on my bucket list. But as it goes now, I got those two off my bucket list.
So aside from acting, what else is on your bucket list?
But those two, well, Judd Apatow, like I said, Tyler Perry, Will Packer.
Go outside of the film industry.
Oh.
What else do you have on your bucket list?
As we've discussed earlier, I would like to start a theater or something like that. I like when all the wars is calming down, I wouldn't mind going to Italy or something.
Nice.
To actually, because I love Italian cuisine.
You should do a food and wine tour.
Good pasta.
Yes.
I love pasta, so I wanted to go, you know, I'd like to go to Italy.
Okay. Maybe you could get a twofer and get a acting job in that shoots in Italy.
Yeah, but they had to calm down a little bit now, you know.
Yeah.
With all this going on in the world, I don't want to go nowhere and get held hostage somewhere, you know.
Yeah, that would be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, talk a little bit about your mentor. We're talking about earlier, Bill Cobbs.
Bill Cobbs? Oh, what a giving person. That guy is a very nice guy. I remember Bill Cobbs when I was going, I had said I was going to come here. So, you know, when you're from your hometown and some of the guys make it, you know, people call you. It's always people always will after you or think they can get a shortcut or whatever. So I once told him, I said, hey, man, I called him. I said, I'm thinking about coming to L.A., but I said, I don't want you to do anything for me or nothing. I just want you to show me the way or show me and I'll do the work. He said, fine. So he said, if you're coming here, there's a book that I'm going to get you. So during this time, he was on this show with that was on NBC and then it got canceled. So you figure this guy, I ain't gonna call this guy, you know, he got canceled. And I know he's, you know, worrying about that or whatever. So my phone rings 2 weeks later. He said, hey, man, I thought you was gonna call me. I said, man, I thought you had more things to worry about, you know, with your series getting canceled or whatever. I said, oh, man. No, he said, I'm sending this book. He sent me this book with this information in it about where to go when I come here. So when I come here, I was here for about a month. He said, hey, we're going to go. Let's go to dinner. I'm going to go pick you up. So he picks me up. And, it, you know, at that time, I always carry resumes and stuff with me anywhere in my little attaché case. So anyway, I went. So he was taking me with him to go audition. He had a voice audition. It was storming rain. And it was on the 405. It was like backed up for 3 hours. He was supposed to be there. And you know, because he's Bill Cobb, you know, they're gonna hold it off. So he's going for this voiceover. So I go there with him. I leave my stuff in the car because I'm just with him. Mm-hmm. And so after he got through, we're going out the lobby. He stops. He's talking to his agents and said, hey, Jimmy, where's your, you got your pick and resume. I said, man, that's in the car. I was going to come here thinking that you're going to, you know, I said, man, go get that. I go all the way down to get it. And he gave it told me to give it to those three agents there. Mm-hmm. I said, this dude here or something. Then he takes me to dinner, and then people come up to like Earthquake. They come up to him and talk about, well, man, we love your acting and stuff like that. You know, people recognizing them in the street and stuff. That dude is so well liked. When I was in the Black Play Festival in 2001 in North Carolina, that from everybody from the airport to the hotel spoke well of Bill Cobb. He didn't even come that year, but they was all like, oh, man, that's the sweetest dude. That's the best dude ever. He really is. Because he was concerned about, you know, about me, and he got canceled on the thing. But then as we were riding, he was telling me, you got a pretty good agent. He was calling you about that. He said, you know, you're going to have a few of them in your career out here. And he was saying that, you know, I'm doing bad. I said, yeah, right. You doing bad. He said, bad for me could be horrendous for you. You know, like that. I said, you got a point there. So, in other words, that wasn't bad for him. You know?
Not at all. This, you know, helping you out and speaking manifestation into your life.
So that's a guy that'll help you out. Or whatever. No, we keep in contact.
That's real good. That's real good.
Yeah.
And Summer, I have to say, this has been an interesting, informative podcast about everything about your journey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It's been like highly informative. A lot of great information that you've shared with us. We're very thankful.
Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, well, thank you. Anytime that I can help someone else, anything that they can learn from my journey to inspire them to keep going in this business, I'm all for it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And my question, my last question is, what would you tell someone that was on the verge of their big break, but they were thinking about giving up?
Oh, man. So they were on the verge of their big break. Man, you got to keep going. You know, if you're afraid to fail, you're in the wrong business. Did you get your inspiration for when you fail? Did you learn from your mistakes? This thing is not like it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So it's going to take time. You got to devote the time, and things will happen if you don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Words of wisdom. Hey, Jimmy, I just want to say thank you very much for being on our podcast. Yes.
Thank you. I feel honored that you asked me to do this, and I feel honored that you, you know, to do it.
We are honored to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And I want to say to all of our viewers, find a passion, pursue it, dreams do come true, and never give up. Make every moment count. This has been Aaron King with my co-host, Summerlin Haynes, and my guest speaker, Jimmy Walker Jr., and this has been Behind the Reel.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Reel. Please like, follow, and share us on social media. If you would like to donate to our cause, go to www.behindthereel.com and click on the donate button. Your support is appreciated.